On this week's episode, we're going to talk about our exciting trip to California for Scale 21X. And we're going to cover GNOME 40 with the latest release of this desktop and discuss all the new enhancements that might make you excited and maybe a little disappointed if you're Ryan and really want the app indicators, because that's true. That's not happened yet.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to episode 364 of Destination Linux, your favorite video podcast. My name is Michael.
I'm Jill.
And I'm Ryan. And by the way, Michael, it's GNOME, not GNOME.
It's GNOME now.
It's GNOME.
Oh, no, it's GNOME.
So actually, there's the reason for that. I say GNOME and GNOME interchangeably to annoy everyone who cares about how you're supposed to say it. Good.
Excellent.
So on Twill, when I'm covering it, I'll say the GNOME Foundation has created GNOME 46. It's the same sentence with different pronunciations, just to that way I can annoy everyone. You know,
that's the whole point of this episode. We'll annoy everyone.
Now let's get this show on the road toward Destination Linux.
Our community feedback this week is a twofer, Michael. A twofer.
A twofer. Another twofer. Does that mean there's more than one?
It's like BOGO, man. You buy one, you get one.
But they're getting it both for free, though.
Yeah.
Well, so it's like a OGO?
FOGO. No. Free one, get one.
It's like a no-go because it costs nothing.
There you go. It's a no-go. Everyone, there's community feedback this week is a no-go.
But that also means like, no, don't do it, don't listen. So that maybe not. We got to come up with a better term for
FOGO.
This.
FOGO for sure. But our first comment comes from Tim. Now, Tim has some suspicions about this show, Michael.
What's that?
And normally we wouldn't read this type of, you know, because it's like, what do they call those newspapers? They're always trying to create those crazy headlines.
Oh, tabloids?
Tabloids. This is like a tabloid thing that Tim sent in. But in any case, I feel we're compelled to read when people send stuff in. So here is the tabloid accusation that Tim's making. He said, so you have a booth at Scale, he's referring to here, with the number 420, which was the number...
That is what we had. Yeah.
We had at Scale. And the next episode, Ryan and Michael have raspy voices. Suspect much?
Oh, I see what you're saying. And all I can say is that by the end of the Scale, I could not speak. And we were on 420. Take that as you will.
Yeah. Well, I would like to add to Tim's suspicion of Michael here. Michael was also in California. That's where the Scale was. And
oh, really?
You know, certain indiscretions are legal there in California. Yeah. So, Tim, I think you're on to something with Michael, and we will investigate further. As for me, I was sick. But for Michael, I think you might be right on this little tabloid here.
I think Ryan is just playing along with this nonsense, and that's why he included it in this show, so he could say that. Whether they're legal or not, I was not interested because my throat hurt.
But our booth was
due to allergies.
Get it? Dope. That was a good dope number. Okay, so
it was a dope experience for sure.
Yeah,
I had very high expectations, and it did not disappoint. I mean, in fact, I would say Scale was pretty dank.
Oh, yes.
So the twofer part of this community feedback comes from. Greg, who says this, last week, Alex wrote in, was a little more than last week, but at the time he sent the feedback, it was last week. Alex wrote in about his difficulty streaming the True Detective series using WoW. I've experienced a similar problem with peacocktv.com, but I've been too lazy to give it much thought. Tried your suggestions with user agent switchers on Chromium and Firefox with no success. Downloaded the Windows portable version of Chrome and ran it using Proton Experimental from Steam. But that test also failed to let me stream Peacock TV. Oh, well, at least they support my tablet, signed up for X2, and did a repost on your call out of WoW TV. Thank you for all the time you guys put into making the podcast about Linux. You're very welcome about that and appreciate that. And also, I really appreciate the fact that you took the time to be a part of this and actually call these people out, because we as a community need to be louder about things like this and less loud about like hating every company that tries to help open source. Cause we get really loud with that stuff when
or hating every company that just does something that might not seem okay, but probably is. And just jumping to conclusions. That happens too quite a bit.
We tend to do that a little bit in the community. We get passionate about some stuff. And some of it's good. Some companies need to be called out. But these companies, like, clearly it's a money situation, right? If they know they're losing potential subscribers because they don't support the service, they will figure out a way to support the service. So what I love of what Greg did is he said he re-signed up for X. So he'd gotten rid of X, which I get. A lot of people have. I got rid of it for a while, stayed off it for a long time. But got back in just to help this cause here of kind of getting the word out. And we could do it in a polite way. We don't have to call people names or tell them they're stupid because their service doesn't support it. But we just want to politely be like, hey, there's a lot of Linux people who want to use your service. Why don't you make it available for it? So we could do the same thing with Peacock TV, but we did not get enough participation in our other Twitter post. And so let's start with WoW, and then maybe we go to Peacock once we win that one over with WoW. Because otherwise, nothing's going to change, you know, unless it hurts their dollars, because all they care about is dollars.
I feel like we should do Peacock as well, just because it's just a tweet and we can have everybody, you know, do reposting and then sharing and that on two things rather than just one and doing it later. So let's do WoW and Peacock. And I agree with what you're saying. The fact that you took this time to create the account, recreate the account, and also took the time to send us an email shows that you're seeing the potential of what needs to be done. And a lot of the time, and also in your actual feedback, you said that you were lazy and didn't want to do it. And I feel like that's a lot of us in the community, because it's like, yeah, you know, we agree with this. And let's say, you know, the thousands and thousands of people are hearing this, they would be, you know, if you just go in and say, hey, we'd pay for it too if you let us watch it on our platform, then all they have to do is just disable the excessiveness on this, on the DRM, because they could still use DRM just like Netflix and all these other ones do.
Right.
So they could still have their precious DRM.
But it does nothing. Yeah.
Right. That does
people
nothing.
People still hack it and still put the shows out there and still.
And also they could just record their screen. It's a worthless waste of time.
So ridiculous.
But anyway, they could still have their precious DRM, but it does take us as a collective to do something about it, because if we want to show them that there is a platform that they can support and not have to do really anything to get the money, I'm sure they'd be happy to do it. But it takes us to go there and actually participate, because I do agree that the amount of people who participated in the last one was not great, ideal. So if we could try again and promote again. This.
Hey, I have an idea to get people worked up, Michael. I heard, and this is just a rumor, but I heard that this happened, that Peacock and WoW both said Vim sucks. So if you're not about that really
actually,
makes you
angry. I think you're misquoting, because what I heard is that Peacock said Vim sucks and WoW said that Emacs sucks. So that's what I heard.
Yeah, I would totally, if I were you, sign up for that X account and retweet that, because that's not that part. The retweet ours.
Not the part that we made up, just the part that is relevant
not the part
to
we made up,
topic.
But the other stuff. Yeah. I just think that a lot of people just got on the keyboard right there, man. Yeah. A lot of people.
Yep, perfect.
Well, to our offense about the post, I had done that post on X for the channel, and then Michael also did a post, and then Ryan was reposting it. Well, it turns out that WoW didn't have a big presence on X. They had a big presence on Facebook. And I sent one over there as well, but we don't have as many viewers on Facebook.
So. For good reason.
Yeah. So if you are a Facebook user and would like to participate for the WoW thing, we will have a link in the show notes. If you are not using Facebook, good job. Fantastic decision. Then we'll try to still do the X thing, but you know.
We'll get their attention on X or wherever. I mean, wherever they might be. If they're on Mastodon, we'd go there, but I won't go on Facebook.
Yeah,
I have wherever they might be, unless it's something Ryan doesn't want to use, then it's not going to happen.
A Facebook, so I can't. I just can't, man. I can't have a Facebook. Like Instagram, the bare minimum I could do.
Why do you have an Instagram account if you can't have a Facebook account? It's owned by the same
completely
company.
Different. Facebook wants you to be posting personal things about yourself, like, and tell your interests and all your friends and
connect. Instagram wants you to post personal pictures of yourself. What's the difference?
Well, I mean, I'm video every week. Like, what am I hiding? Like, a picture of myself, right? I mean.
No. I'm saying the personal stuff that you're doing with the, that's what they're wanting. It's the same kind of thing. Yeah. It's just photos instead.
They know so everything they need to know about me.
It is less problematic, because at least Instagram doesn't ask you for your social security number and stuff like that.
Right. It's just, I don't know. There's just something about it. It's different. Anyways, let
you
us know.
You don't want your face in a book, much less your information in a Facebook.
Well, what we appreciate about both these emails is that Tim and Greg both wanted to help create this show, because when you take the time to send us your feedback, it becomes part of the show, mm-hmm. which makes the show even better. We get to hear from
you. And you get some banter back and forth between us. And sometimes it doesn't make sense, and sometimes it does.
Most of the time, it doesn't make sense. Let's be honest.
But you just roll the dice by sending those comments in, and we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. So we want you to ask your questions or send in your comments about why Michael hates Vim and Emacs. And you can send that to destinationlinux.net/comments, because he just doesn't like them, kind of like Peacock and WoW. And I don't know why, because I've always really enjoyed Vim and Emacs. So, but you can ask
him. You still can't even get out of Vim. What are you talking about?
So, Michael, what are your thoughts about Vi? The original Vim.
You like Vi better, Michael?
First of all, Ryan likes to say a lot of stuff. He likes to make up things about me and say it on the show as if it is true. So I just want to remind everyone that that's what Ryan does. Secondly, I also do not necessarily like Vim or Emacs for my personal uses.
Aww.
But I never told him that.
To the Vim and Vi community, I love it. I think it's the greatest. No, you do.
Say, like he does. What's your favorite part about Vim? What's your favorite specific thing about Vim?
I'll tell you, like, navigating with HJKL makes so much sense to me. Like, arrow keys up and down. What? What am I, a pilot? I like the idea that random letters on the right side of my keyboard that in no other program are they ever used, that those are the letter that allows you to navigate through this editor. Like, to me, that makes perfect sense. That's why
I like how you first started by saying something that everybody was on board with, and then halfway you just veered off into insulting it. I agree with your sentiment.
But I did have a Vim user write me and say, look, I just use the arrow keys myself, because you can just use the arrow keys in Vim in them. So, you know, I just felt like you kind of, if you're going to use Vim, you have to do it the way that they want you to originally. But then that user came in and I was like, well, it works pretty well if you're just using the arrow keys, you know.
I mean, that's true too, but also Sublime Text, but works pretty well too.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's other ones out there. All right. But that's not open source, Michael. You're on another side of the bridge again. Let's get into the main topic.
When you go through an airport security, there's one line where you go through to check the TSA, getting your ID checking. And then there's the other line where a machine scans your bag. And then if you're lucky, that's all the lines you have. But sometimes there's a few more. But the same thing happens in enterprise security too. And by the same thing, I mean there's multiple levels of checks, not for passengers and luggage, but for end users and their devices.
And wow, comparing this to an airport is interesting, because being in corporate America for so many years, TSA is extraordinarily frustrating, probably the worst part of travel. And corporate security is also the worst part about being a corporation. So I see how those two connect there perfectly.
And also it might connect a little level, but at the point where, you know, the people who are the TSA agents are dealing with the stuff that's very frustrating, because they're dealing with thousands of people who are doing it wrong and not prepared for certain things at certain times. And then you have the security team who are dealing with people who don't know how to use their devices sometimes. And, you know, wide variety of things. But, you know, these days, most companies are good at the first part of checking user identity. They have some kind of solution there. But user devices, well, that isn't always the case, because sometimes they could just roll right through the authentication process without getting inspected at all. Like, sometimes your bags might not get inspected at all. In fact, 47% of companies allow unmanaged, untrusted devices to access their data. That means an employee can log in from a laptop that has its firewall turned off and hasn't been updated in 6 months. Like, Ryan takes forever to update stuff.
Wait, what? You know? I yeah. update all the time. What are you talking about?
Oh, that was me.
That's
that
you.
Was me.
That's you.
Right. Yeah, okay. That's you wouldn't Michael
be
AI.
You shouldn't be trusted. That's the problem. All these other people, they're
no,
like,
no, no. I update the stuff that I need to connect to stuff like this. Just, yeah. you know.
They need all the corporations need to kick Michael off their network immediately because he's untrusted and unauthenticated.
This system is up to date. I just want to verify right, that, you know, there. That's no but longer
think about
a problem.
All the apps and things people put on their personal devices and so many businesses.
Oh, yeah.
They require you to utilize your personal device as kind of your 2FA and also your security to get into your VPN for your business. And on top of that, they've got TikTok and Facebook and any other random scanning
or app just trash. Weird random apps they download that have like tons of ads or, you know, some kind of coupon app or something, you know?
Yep. And then these apps request permissions, like give me permission to your network. Give me permission to search your network stuff. Give me permission. And the corporations.
Give me permission to your location for some reason.
Yeah. And the corporations are all their data is going to get zapped up in that app just like anybody else's if there's nothing to stop it.
But luckily, there is something to stop it. And that's called Collide, because Collide solves the device trust problem. They ensure that no device can log into your Okta protected apps unless it passes your security checks. Plus, you can use Collide on devices without MDM, like your Linux Fleet, contractor devices, and the BYOD, or bring your own device stuff like phones and laptops in your company. So you can have it. And the best part about Collide is that if they find an issue, you don't have to tell the person to contact security team. They can actually explain to them what they need to do to fix the authentication problem, which is fantastic because it saves your team time for working on everybody's device. And it also makes it possible for if someone hits a hiccup, like a roadblock, they can get past it, which is very important. So visit destinationlinux.net/collide to watch a demo and to see how it works. That's destinationlinux.net/KOLIDE.
Let's talk about Scale this year. Scale was absolutely incredible. Jill, there were so many people. I was a little bit overwhelmed, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I had a feeling you guys might be. It was, you know, it was Michael and Ryan's first time being at Scale with pre-pandemic numbers of attendance. And I knew it's like the last 2 years. The last year was pretty good. The year before that was, of course, really quiet because we were masked up and all the things. But this year, I knew we were back to our original numbers, because when I registered, I saw the number and I'm like, okay, we're back.
Yay. Yeah. I didn't even see my number and I registered way after everybody.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what my number was. but I know it was over. Is it like 3,000 or something like that?
Yeah. 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 It was over that. 'Cause when I registered, actually a month before Scale, it was already like 2,500 ish.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So,
yeah.
Scale, if you've never been to a Linux event, there's a couple of things that I want to mention. That it's an incredible opportunity to network with people. So, right now, I know the tech industry in the job world sucks. Like, it's really bad. I see it all over the place, people talking about it. This is a really good opportunity for people, any Linux conference, not just Scale. Scale's special to us, but any Linux conference and things, you already have something in common with everybody that goes there. So it's a really great opportunity, in my mind, for you to network and kind of let people know what you're passionate about, what you're working on there. So that's really, really fun part of Scale for a lot of people. Makes it worth the money to airplane ticket and all of that stuff to get in there. But then it was just the amount of people, Michael, that came by to say hi and how much they enjoyed the show and all the encouragement to me was just incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I loved it. We were talking to so many people at the booth. I mean, there were so many people that I eventually could not talk anymore.
Yeah.
Now, you could say that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could say that was because of the allergies. You could say that's because I was just talking to people all the time. It could be a combination of all of this. But it was a lot of fun coming up with new ways to talk about the network and the shows with each person that came to the booth. Yep. Because I would come up with something that was really good and I was thinking I could do better. And then sometimes it worked perfectly. And then sometimes the next time I said something, it was very weird. And I enjoyed it, though. It was still fun. So the booth experience is a different kind of experience. So if you are coming to the scale to attend it, do not be part of a booth.
Yeah, your first scale.
You have a very different experience. So the first scale. No, we had a booth. We had a booth every scale. Never mind.
Yeah, you had a booth every scale. So you.
It was a lot easier the first scale because it was smaller and because less crowded. Not necessarily crowded, but it was just smaller. So everything was in one location. So your hotel room was the same place. The conference was the same place. The talks were the same place. It was a lot easier to manage that. But when you're going to the scale of this conference is much bigger than you might expect. So if you've ever been to, it was a pun. If you've ever gone to any of these conferences that are called Linux Fest, like Texas Linux Fest or Southeast Linux Fest or Linux Fest Northwest and those sorts of things, then you might expect a certain size conference. Scale is like the same vibe where it is a community ran conference, but it is easily 10 times bigger.
Yeah.
Like massive. So you should expect that and prepare in advance for what you want to do, because we can guarantee you're not going to be able to do everything you want to do.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
you end up watching, like I'm doing right now, after about a month after scale, all the talks that we could not go to because we're running booths.
Yeah.
And I had two. I had Destination Linux booth, Tex Digital booth, and Linux Chicks LA booth.
Yep.
Luckily, they were next to each other. So thank you, Scale, for doing that.
Yes.
It did make it a lot easier for it to, because the first year it was not next to each other.
No.
And that was a little bit more difficult. But this time.
I think it's worth just saying right up front here how much we appreciate the Scale staff, everybody
for the incredible.
I mean, the fact that you have that many people coming through an event and it's so well organized.
Yeah. Elon and Hannah. They just did an amazing job.
And they were always, Hannah and Eli were always coming and checking on us, making sure everything was okay. And I know they were doing that with all the booths, and they're just first class. And everybody who supported Scale from there did an amazing job. But I want to talk about the highlights. Yes. And for me, this year, I think what was really special about this year versus the other years was the amount of young Linux enthusiasts that were coming to our booth and were fans of the show. And they were so brilliant with the stuff that they were showing, because they didn't just come and be like, oh, we really like your show. I mean, some did, and that's fine. Love that. But some of them were just like opening their laptop and starting to show us programs and things that they're working on and like the projects they're engaged in, and really made me feel like a failure as a father. And also
as like a individual career person, when this little like a little kid who's 12 brings something that's so impressive, like working on like playing with AI models and stuff like that. And I remember when I was 12, I had like G.I. Joes or something.
Exactly. No, this generation of kids and is just incredible. And of course, they're at Linux, they're at Scale. And I remember one came up with their father, and the dad was like, I have no idea what you guys really talk about. I don't understand any of it, but he loves you guys and listens to your show every week. And so that type of stuff was just amazing. There was one young genius that impressed all of us so much that we just had to do something special for them. So we did the Raspberry Pi giveaway, which huge thanks to the Raspberry Pi Foundation for sending us a Raspberry Pi 5 to give away at the event. They're that awesome. Really Absolutely. Huge shout out to them over there for doing that. And they did it with very little time to get it to us. And they're so awesome. And they wanted to make sure.
And even through the pain of DHL, we still went the pain away.
So they're just fantastic over there. Raspberry Pi Foundation is so supportive of the open source community and things. And they had actually sent us personal Raspberry Pi 5 kits as well. And we brought one of those to run the television at our booth that actually plays the episodes and things for people who weren't aware of us. And we kind of show them what the shows are all about and the things that we do. And so at the end of the conference, this one young kid had just impressed us so much that even though we'd already given away the other Raspberry Pi 5, we gave away one of our personal Raspberry Pi 5s to them. And then they've already reached out, Jill, to say, going to let us know all the projects and cool stuff they're doing with the Raspberry Pi, which I'm super excited about.
Yes. So that was a young William. Highlight. His name was William.
Yep. William, absolutely amazing. Yeah. Really awesome meeting you, and really appreciate that. And then the last highlight, and there's so many highlights, okay, but the show would go on forever if we all covered everything. But I just want to say meeting Wimpy in person.
Yes.
Was a huge highlight for me.
Yeah.
He is just as charming and fun as you imagine. And of course, he's now a Nix OS extremist versus just an Ubuntu Mate extremist. And so he made me really want to try Nix OS even more, because I've been wanting to give Nix OS a try for a minute. And the highlight for me was the soda machine. So if you look at our live show, cool. I actually at one point go and show the soda machine that when you open it up is actually Blade servers. But it actually had different flavors of Linux in this soda machine. And so every time people put money into it, instead of giving you a soda, which that's lame, it spun up a virtual machine of the Linux distro that you chose. And also that dollar went towards a great cause of refurbishing old hardware to give back into the community. So it was a really cool thing. And I don't know how they did the logistics of shipping a vending machine to scale, because we had a hard time getting a TV stand there. But
also the fact that they shipped a vending machine that wasn't just a vending machine, because I would assume that a vending machine would not be that heavy unless you had everything in there so they could ship it. But you're also talking about they're shipping Blade servers and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Like just having a Blade server, like one, you hold it and you're like, what? So they had to ship all of that for this. And it was very cool though. It was kind of funny how you said that you put a dollar into a soda machine and you don't get a dollar, because that would be lame if you got, or you wouldn't soda. Get a drink, yeah. a soda. Yeah. And I actually didn't know what it was for a while, because the booth that had this soda machine was actually right next to the scale shirt stuff. So I thought it actually might be a soda machine, and I never even went over there until Wimpy came by and told us what it was.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, that's awesome. So they even, because it was like a dollar per distro, like when you put a dollar in, you're kind of like voting for the distribution that's on the machine.
Yeah, they had an old CRT monitor and would show which distro had the most sodas or virtual machines spun up, essentially.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And it became a competition between the different distributions.
So funny, man.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious, because we found out because Wimpy was on his way to add more to it so that Nix OS would win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they won.
And they did win by a landslide. Yeah.
But what was funny is the Ubuntu team came up to the booth and was telling me what this system they're using to make sure they win. And everyone had this plan that they were executing.
Strategy. Oh yeah,
to try to win this.
Once people started to know there was a competition, it heated up, which is awesome, because not only is it a fun thing to talk about, it's also the fact that all of the money they were putting in was being used for a good cause of helping people get some computers, which is just fantastic. So it's a fun effort that the distros competed against, and also the money they did went to a good cause.
Yeah,
so that's awesome.
And, we also got to meet Chris Fisher, and Noah was there from the Ask Noah show, and all kinds of great talent and stuff that we got to run into. So Simon was there. I mean, there's just so many people that we've had on the show over the years and interviewed or talked with. It was just a ton of fun out there. But
we also even had Chris take some photos with our swag to show that he's fully on board with
he's a huge fan of our
show. Yeah.
With our stuff.
And we had a really nice picture together at our booth, the crossover picture.
If for those who are paying attention to our Twitter or X or whatever, is during the time we posted a lot of different like pictures and stuff, one of which is the best crossover ever created. I mean, eat your heart out, Marvel and DC, with Chris and Wes from JB at our booth. To doing a photo op. So that was awesome.
And they did secretly off camera ask for autographs, which we gave them. They wanted us to autograph their shirts. They wanted us to autograph everything. Like they had CDs of different distros they wanted us to autograph. By the time I was done autographing everything for Chris,
my arm cramp. Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. We got hand cramps because of that specifically. That totally.
You're welcome, Chris, for all
that
this.
That totally happened. He did not just make that up.
Yeah, no, it did happen. Oh my gosh, I have so many highlights. I'm not going to get through them all, but one is getting to meet Ryan's wife and kids in IRL was pure joy. And giving all of them a hug and Dakota a hug. And Dakota gifted me this adorable pink plush penguin for my collection.
Yeah, she loves Jill. Everybody loves Jill, right? My kids really love Jill too. So they got to spend a lot of time with Jill, even at Disneyland, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so we'll get awesome. To that.
We'll get to that. But I carried this little penguin with me everywhere because Dakota gave it to me. Oh. And I had it with me when we did a very special interview with one of the greats in Linux. And is someone who's a Linux legend and pivotal in Linux's adoption. So on next week's DL, we will have that awesome interview. I can't wait for everyone to see it.
And I want to say this, and I mean it. I think it's one of our greatest interviews we've ever done.
Ever.
And,
easily.
It's easily in the top two, if not the greatest interview. And one of the reasons is the storytelling from this individual is next level. Like, I don't think we really interviewed them at all. We kind of asked questions.
We asked probably four questions and then basically was like, go.
Yeah. And then their stories were so vibrant and well told, and just in like I could see myself there,
vivid,
explaining the story. And so I really, even if you're not sure, you know, some people will know this person right away as a legend in Linux, and other people who are newer to Linux, you may not know the name, but listen to this interview because either way, you're going to find it absolutely amazing. And it's not because we did anything special.
We basically did nothing.
That's
not what makes it good. It's just a very good interview.
Yeah. They're just
incredible. We did do some extra effort in the visual presentation with cameras. So at least we did something on the interview.
Yeah.
Like the whole time we were setting up, I was like, man, I hope this is worth it. This is a lot of effort. And then we had the interview and like, this was definitely worth doing. Okay.
Definitely. Yeah, so stay tuned for that next week. And another highlight for me also is finally getting to meet Wimpy in IRL after all these years. I've been talking to him on podcasts like Michael and Ryan has. I've played Trackmania Stadium 2 with him for about 6 months. Yeah. So I really got to know him. And he's such a charming person, a warm person, and just very intelligent.
Well, that's because of his accent. He's not really intelligent. Just his accent
just the
automatically
accent makes him sound it. Yeah.
I actually told him that in person. I'm like, man, that accent makes you sound so smart anytime you say anything, you know?
Well, he has such a great sense of humor,
he
too.
Is really
and I love that.
Accent.
And he gave us these awesome NixCon t-shirts.
Yes.
Woo!
That's right.
It was the first... this was a co-located event at the Southern California Linux Expo, and it was the first NixOS convention. So it was very, very special.
Oh, I didn't know that part. That's cool.
Yeah, it was the first annual. So
I got to go to the first annual NixCon and didn't know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at you. You're smart, Michael.
Yeah, so he gave us the awesome shirts.
I didn't even know.
I've been watching NixCon on the Scales YouTube channel because we're working booths, especially the Text Digital booth. We didn't have time to go to NixCon.
Yeah.
We didn't know anything was happening in fairness because we never left the booth.
Actually, all three of us did just before that interview. Yeah.
We walked by NixCon for a little bit. Yeah.
And I saw Wimpy.
To get to the interview.
Just to get to the interview. So we did the interview before the opening of the expo hall on Friday. And we learned, well, we basically were like, do we have enough time? We got about 2 hours. That should be plenty. Turns out we needed more time than that. Yeah. And we had to expand to like another 30 minutes or so. And I also learned something very important. When you're going to a conference and you're going to be a part of a booth for hours and hours and hours, and that booth starts after lunch, you should probably use that time to eat lunch.
Eat lunch. Mm.
Just pro tip.
Absolutely.
Pro tip.
Yeah. But it never happens. That's why I always bring Nutri-Grain bars.
That's why I was happy my family was there because they were able to bring me food throughout the day.
Oh, yeah. That helped. Yeah, your whole family, they brought me my favorite vanilla Frappuccino drink from Starbucks. I'm so happy. Thank you.
My wife used
not
that
sponsored.
As an excuse to get Starbucks. She's like, Jill wants it. And who can say no at that point?
Yeah. So. Well, the other thing Wimpy gave me is this NixOS POG.
Yep.
And he gave it to me and told me, this is for people that do good in open source. And like, what an honor, you know, he goes, I don't
kind of like it's like a currency thing. It's like proof that you're helping NixOS and our Nix in the community. Like that's such a cool idea.
So smart. Their marketing over there is next level with, I know Wimpy's a big part of it, but that whole team is doing some incredible marketing.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And I think that others should pick it up of like, you know, kind of giving like something.
NixOS is going places, folks. Yeah. It's going places.
Absolutely.
Yeah. A quick story about that. For those who don't know what a POG is, I did something that I didn't realize. No. So, okay.
This actually legit embarrassed me when you did it. Like, I was
I didn't realize it was a big deal.
So hard when he did this. Were you there when he did this?
Wait, hold on. You cringed?
I cringed so hard when I saw you do it. I was like,
But you knew what it was, right?
I knew what you were trying to do, but Wimpy didn't understand what you were doing.
Well, yeah, but also I didn't know that. And then I found out and I was like, oh, well, that's not... Okay, let me explain what this is.
So Michael takes... Because in the U.S., because we have people...
First of all, it's a game from a long time ago, from like the 80s, 90s, something like that.
In the 80s, 90s, there was this game called Pog, and you had these things called slammers.
Right.
And you would use it to flip the other person's coin, and they were heavy and they were round and they look just like
exactly like this. And it's even called a POG. In my defense, it's literally called a Nix POG. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
Michael takes it from Wimpy, gives it to him because Wimpy had told me the story, but Michael came in late. So, in fairness, Michael hadn't heard the whole story.
Okay.
And,
I didn't hear it.
And Wimpy hands one to Michael, and Michael slams it on the table like a POG.
No, I didn't slam it. It wasn't hard slam. I
was kind of like, did. He was like,
I just know. Because, okay, I just went like that.
So
just,
cringe.
Just that.
So
but it, like when you slam, you go like, really hard. That's how you play the game. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, I did hear it, but I was next door at the Linux Tricks LA booth and like, oh, what's that noise?
Well, when he slammed it, I looked down and noticed Michael was wearing Crocs too at the same time.
That is not true. Although we had a lot of people ask us where our Crocs were. And that was fun. We were very tempted to just go out and get some Crocs for the next day. We didn't because
we had a lot of people coming up to us with the Croc joke.
Croc joke. That was awesome.
Lots of memes from the show were reiterated at the booth.
That was at fun. Us randomly throughout.
Very fun.
I brought the stool again, so we the got stool a couple was there. Of those.
We actually had people ask where the stool is. I like that. Like, it was very fun because we got to meet a lot of people and also got to meet a lot of OG DL fans, which was really fun. Because, I mean, knowing these memes is proof that you're an OG DL fan because we have lots of them. And even though I really want them to die, these memes will never go away, I have realized.
Michael's weak thumbs, the stool.
I was about to say that one. Yeah. So just for quick reference, the ridiculous stool one, that happened 4 years ago. And it's still a thing.
Yeah.
So welcome. At this point, I now accept all memes from this show to be never ending. And I just accept my fate of this. And now I have to come up with more for Ryan. Yeah. But I was disappointed that I don't remember anyone coming up to you and calling you noodle arms, which is very disappointing.
But you next did, year, you did people, successfully troll me with my stickers because my stickers are, of course,
That was amazing.
The green brain with the bearded person with the glasses, and it has the terminal prompt there in the glasses. And because my beard's now short and Michael's is long, people would come up and he would be like,
and I wear glasses.
Who do you think this
you
looks
not?
Like more?
Who's Goss-geek?
Who is this? I asked a couple kids and they were like, it's you, like and pointing to me. And it's so funny.
Which is embarrassing because, like, the reality is, if you look at the size of the brain, it's clearly me.
No, but the only way that is you is the toxic parts of the brain, because why is your brain green, bro? Like, there's got to be something, you know?
Aww.
But anyway, that was fun because when I started doing that meme just because someone said, hey, is this you? I'm like, no. Okay, let's see how many people think it's me.
Yeah.
And it was a lot. It was a lot.
Oh, boy. So another one of my highlights was...
Oh, right. We're talking about that.
Yeah. Yes. I've got
tangents,
a few more.
People, tangents. Tangents.
That was fun. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I got a vintage computer gift for my computer hardware museum from an awesome viewer named Jeff. It's actually a rare TRAC or track laptop. It's so rare, it's hard to even find it online.
It's so rare, it weighs 150 pounds. Yeah. Not yeah, a laptop.
It's so-called luggable, not good Lord, a portable laptop. But what was neat is Jeff, he contacted me because I was in the Jupiter Broadcasting's chat. And he said, oh, Jill, traitor. I'm going to bring you something at scale because he's a big Destination Linux viewer as well because we have so much crossover, right?
Yeah. Good save. Yeah.
So there was that, which was very exciting. I've fired it up and it fires up no problem. So I just got to get a few things working on it. It has a little trouble in the floppy disk department, but it's expected for something so old. So this is normal. And so I'm looking forward to playing around with it. And
I was excited about that too, Jill, until I found out just now that he listens to both Jupiter Broadcasting and Tux Digital.
Yeah. And
now I realize that Jeff's a traitor, and you can't like Star Wars and Star Trek at the same time, Jeff. You have to pick one. You got to pick one.
I mean, that's not true. I like both of them. I mean,
I do too, actually.
Star Trek.
All right, Jeff. But you're in the clear, Jeff.
So you're forgiven, Jeff. One of my favorite comments someone made, they came up to us and said, you guys are like the Entertainment Tonight of Linux. Yeah. And I took that, you know, what a compliment. That was,
I don't
awesome.
Remember I Entertainment Tonight, but for years I think it was John a pretty Tett. Good show.
Yeah. It's one of the Hollywood highlight shows that runs in prime time on, you know, the network, gotcha. Network TV. For many, 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 many years. In fact, it's still on the air.
And so are we.
Oh, really? Yeah. It is still on the air?
Yeah.
That was funny because when Ryan didn't know what it was and asked what it was, I said, it's an old TV show about entertainment, like Hollywood stuff. And I didn't realize it was still being made.
I've been on Entertainment Tonight several times because of Star Trek conventions.
Of course you have, Jill.
Oh, geez. Jill, really? Really, Jill?
From the 80s.
Unbelievable, man. Is there anything Jill hasn't done?
I don't think so.
Someone needs to ghostwrite her book, for real. Like, no. There's someone out there who's
a good
ghostwriter.
We need Jill's memoirs, yeah. You know?
At this point, it's kind of like there's so much we have to unfold. So, Jill, you can't keep going on forever. You got to pick one more highlight, and then we got to move on here.
Okay. So one more highlight is what was amazing because, again, we had so many more people this year. But we actually had a picture and autograph line at many points.
Yeah, that was fun.
When we were at the booth. I mean, sometimes we were 20 people deep. And I am not kidding about that because there was a few times I was trying to get into the booth and couldn't because there was too many people.
But to be fair, a lot of you broke the rules. You went
to Jill
first.
A lot of you were just trying to get Jill.
Yeah.
And that's not fair, right?
That's
you
not fair.
You have to get... Are
that is violating the rules that we declared at the beginning of the entire process of talking about scale, actually probably forever. I think we started this like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I drew my name in curly Q with a cute little penguin and a heart on top.
So one of the trends that I noticed and I was
I like how her final thing she wanted to talk about is how she got autographs and we didn't. That's interesting. Because you're like, oh, we had a whole line of people waiting. I was like, I don't remember that line. I don't know what you're talking about.
I had like five, Jill.
Michael had like three more than me. I was working both booths. So I would have some that would come up to me at the Linux Chick-fil-A booth and some at the Yale booth.
And you didn't turn them back to the Tux Digital. So that's where they happened.
I did.
But they never came to us. They never came to us. A few did.
You guys did autographs.
I know. We're teasing.
We're just messing with you.
The funny thing is, like this year, there was a lot of people requesting digital autographs, which was new.
Yeah.
But then I was telling somebody about that and they're like, that's a great way for them to scam you. And I was like, what? And they're like, now they have your signature for your checks. And I was like, I don't sign my real name. I mean, come on. Like, I don't use...
My
real name's Ryan, but I use Ryan.geek. And then all this stuff. So I was like, that's kind of funny though, because like a digital signature, technically you could... Nobody was doing that, but it was just funny somebody thought that, right? But then I remembered this moment with Michael, and I have to share this with people. I'm at the hotel.
Okay, this is Not necessarily my signatures. Just clarifying. Continue.
Okay. So I'm at the hotel and we're changing the payment method of the hotel to the business credit card because the whatever reason they messed up and I had to use my personal one first, but then Michael came with the business one and they were switching it over. So Michael has to sign and they're like, okay, we need your signature. And Michael does this thing where he just does two dots and a smiley face and then hits next.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, we need you to sign this document. Two dots and a smiley face. And then we need to acknowledge if there's any damages to the room that, you know, you'll fix, blah, blah, two dots and a smiley face. And they accept it. And I'm sitting here the whole time with my mouth open like, that works? Like, I know they don't check the validity of your signature, but I assume they required something that looked
a name.
Like a signature. Michael's over here drawing pictures like a three-year-old with crayons. And that's his signature. And they're just like, okay, great.
Yeah.
And we walk away. I wait till we're far away, enough away from the clerk. And I'm like, why did you do that? And he's like, they never checked the crap anyway. So I just put whatever. I draw random pictures or whatever. And they just take it. And I just think that's an amazing hack, Michael, that I never thought about. Nobody really does check that crap. And
I don't know where I first heard of it not being like actually tested. So I just randomly decided to do that one day and I just do it all. I don't do it all the time, but I do it, but I don't ever sign my name in those things. Cause it's a waste of time. So what we're talking about is the credit card signing thing. And that is not a legal document. That's just a proof that that someone was there physically, basically. And that's pretty much all it does because that signature, it makes people think that you're proving that it's you, blah, blah. It doesn't even go anywhere. Most of the time, they don't even send them off. They're just there. And then as soon as you do something and then it sends it through, it just kind of goes into the ether and it's not even saved. Most of the time. I don't know if that's true always, but every time I've tested it, I often put a smiley face or I draw some kind of like a squirrel or something. Or I'll just draw something.
You
ever spend
a lot of time making art with it? Or do you?
I have, yes. I have. I've drawn some like punk rock symbols and stuff.
Oh,
like there's
gosh,
this like one weird band that I like a long time ago. And I remember how to draw their logo. And it's like a punk rock guy. And I've done that before on things and it goes through just fine. So I've sometimes showed people who are checking me out. I was like, hey, check this out. Smiley face, send. And they're like, what?
That's incredible, man. Like, awesome. I want to see you buy a house and do that on all your mortgage forms.
Yeah.
So that's a different sort of
smiley
thing.
Yeah.
Very different thing. And now I also, when we do the digital signature, I kind of felt like a little weird doing a digital autograph sort of thing. So I did add a smiley face to it.
Is part of your signature. You're Smiley Michael.
No, it's not. Just that particular one.
It's Smiley Michael.
But also, if you do like that, we have OCR that's so good now. You could just take a real autograph from a piece of paper and probably scan it into the computer.
Yeah.
Like it's probably doesn't matter. Like I feel like it doesn't matter at this point. But
Jill, I don't want to take yours, but I think it's worth mentioning you have Framework on here. And Framework,
oh, yeah,
we have an
yeah.
interview coming up with Framework. So. Woo-hoo. Make sure you are subscribed. Make sure you hit the thumbs up. Or if you're watching us on YouTube, if you're listening to a podcast, then still make sure you give us 5 stars because Framework interview is coming up and we got to play with the Framework.
It was
and
so much fun.
We'll talk about that more during the Framework episode where that interview comes out. But it's everything I wanted it to be and so much more, putting my hands on the 16-inch Framework. It's incredible.
And Ryan literally got his hands on it.
Yes.
You might be thinking Ryan is exaggerating his interest and love for this thing. He is not, because I was sitting at the booth as the person who was actually doing what we're supposed to do and be exhibitors in the expo hall, unlike some people who will remain nameless, Ryan, who came when he came back from the Frameworks booth, he was like, there's the Frameworks here. It's awesome. You have to go check it out. They even have an exploded one where you can see it's taken apart and see the different pieces and stuff like that. It was so cool. I got to touch it. He's not exaggerating. That's exactly. It was like a kid in a candy store. He was so excited about it.
I loved it. I loved it.
Awesome. And you're going to be excited when you see that episode when we have the interview with Frameworks.
Uh-huh.
Made me giddy.
And there's someone special we interviewed at Framework.
Yes. And so, Michael, what were some of the highlights that you had since we've taken all of your time? You've got 1 minute, 60 seconds.
Oh,
go.
No.
All right. Okay. Hanging out with a bunch of people we met from previous years of scale. That was awesome. I didn't get to do it as much because the whole allergies thing just wrecking me. But that was really fun because we were able to, there was like also the game night where a bunch of people were there and you get to meet and talk with a bunch of people. I didn't get to spend that much also there, but it did look like it was an upgraded game night from last year. So that was awesome. They even had like a concert of sorts. So I like it when they put like they go all out on the game night because the first year we were there, it was awesome. The second year was a little bit wonky. And this year looked to be much better. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really fun.
And I really, really like doing interviews at scale. It's so much fun. You get to go to the booth and hang and just talk to people, ask them some questions. And obviously, it's me, so I'm going to ask them some really weird questions, like the whole lightning round thing we do on the show.
Yeah,
I also do that for every booth person. However, I was unable to do that at all this year because of the allergies. So I learned... be prepared for allergies and also maybe take more sick/allergies,
honestly.
I think we were sick because of the allergies, because the allergies happen so fast that I don't think the sickness would activate that much that quickly. And I think we were so like our immune system was already down from the allergies that then we got sick. That's what I think.
It's gotta be something like that.
That's my theory anyway. But overall, I think it was fantastic. I think that the Raspberry Pi giveaway was really fun. Also, I laughed because first of all, we did a bunch of giveaway stuff. We gave away patrons, like being a patron to the show. We gave away some hot sauce. In fact, internet's favorite hot sauce.
That's true.
Yeah, we did that. And also, we gave away the Raspberry Pi 5. And I thought it was very clever when Ryan decided to, we were going to the Raspberry Pi 5. He decided to pick someone from the crowd to pick the number so that we wouldn't be... at fault for whoever was picked.
Like nobody cared if I messed up the hot sauce pick, but if I messed up the Raspberry Pi 5 pick, there was going to be a riot, right? And we only had one. So there wasn't a lot of choice there. I also want to give a huge shout out to Steve. Jill, your husband did an amazing job of transportation, helping set up, take things down, organize. He helped run the booths when me and Michael would randomly disappear because we were overwhelmed. Or whatever was happening at the time that we both ended up not being there. Steve was just absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And you always have Alan and Tyson there helping you as well with the camera work.
Alan and Tyson helped out. They helped out with the setup of the booth. Alan helped with doing the interviews and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was very, very good. And also, like you were talking about Steve helping us when we weren't there. Also, Steve started helping out when we were there. And was listening to my pitch of all the ridiculous things I would say to people, because I would say things that were true, but also kind of funny, because I would say stuff like, you know, hey, have you heard of Destination Linux and This Week in Linux? And they're like, no, I haven't. But I'm like, okay, cool. Well, this is your chance to watch the two greatest shows ever created in the history of mankind. And I have absolute proof of this because I did a double blind survey where I closed my eyes, asked my mom and Ryan's mom, and they both said yes. And therefore, we have proof. And so I would do these kinds of pitches. And at one point on Sunday, I could not speak. Like my throat was hurting so much, I just couldn't speak. And I don't think y'all are even there when it happened, but Steve was doing the pitches for me.
That was awesome.
It was hilarious. I loved it.
Yeah.
Oh,
Steve's the best.
He came in on the live stream at the end, and I was at the end too because I had gone to the talk. It was the first time I could go to a talk. So that's why I was late on the live stream. But even my husband came on it. I was so happy about that.
Yeah. So you can see Steve on the live stream that we have out there on the channel. Also, huge thanks to Linbit for paying for our transportation to scale. Huge thanks to the Raspberry Pi Foundation for providing us giveaways for scale. And of course, NixCon, all the giveaways that were given to us and things. We really appreciate Nix and Wimpy and all the support from everybody there at the show. All in all, it was incredible. Hopefully you enjoyed kind of a recap of some of our favorite parts of it. And hopefully, even more than that, you decide to attend next year because scale is right around the corner. The next scale is right around the corner.
We're already planning. Right around 50 corners. around 50 corners.
And I wanted to show off some.
By the way,
corners
a week, people.
Yeah, we gave away lots of swag. We had microfiber cloths.
We actually had a lot of people telling that we had the best swag because of the microfiber cloth.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I was looking for something that we should give away that was, because we couldn't get the fidget spinners that we typically do.
Yeah.
And I was looking for an alternative and I found that one. And I was like, well, that's perfect because I want those now.
Yeah.
Because as for those who don't know or listen to the audio only version, I wear glasses and they are very handy for glasses.
And they
we had a lot of people thanking us for that.
And Alan and Tyson got good use out of them using them on to clean our cameras.
I didn't know that. Even better.
That was great.
It's also a video equipment.
Yeah. I've already ordained my cabinet with our stickers.
Oh, I see that. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, look. All the new stickers are there.
Yeah.
Jill's got them all.
Hey, look. Hey, you see on the bottom right over there? So there's the DL sticker. There's the Twill sticker, and there's my face over there, right next to that.
Not your face, Michael.
That's my face.
That's right.
All right, so let's move into our new story.
This episode of Destination Linux is sponsored by Linbit. Linbit has been keeping digital businesses running for over 20 years. They're the makers of open source products like DRBD, which is high availability software that has been part of the Linux kernel since 2010, and LinStore, industry-leading open source software-defined storage. Linbit has an active presence in the open source community, and they collaborate with the community to help identify and build new features. Linbit provides enterprise-grade software that runs on a variety of platforms and OSs without vendor lock-in. What that means is that you could choose the software on any platform, including specific hardware that you want to use, or just off-the-shelf hardware that you get and connect it. All of this stuff can be interchanged really easily. And with DRBD and LinStore, you can have high-speed replicated block storage in almost any configuration, whether it's Kubernetes, Apache Cloud, or Open Nebula. There's even DRBD proxy for long-distance replication. Linbit is run by its founders to this day, and all of its engineers and developers are in-house with offices in Europe and North America, which allows them to have global 24/7 support to complement their enterprise offerings. Visit linbit.com to learn more about the people behind Linbit and the awesome software for block storage, duplication, and more.
Because GNOME has released GNOME 46, and it is codenamed Kathmandu.
I think Kathmandu.
Kathmandu.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Kathmandu. That. I was making sure you all knew that, and good job.
Oh, okay, good. You. Okay. I like how you tested us that way. Yeah. That's a good job.
Yeah. It's the most populous city in Nepal, Michael and Jill, in case you all
know.
You clearly, you said Nepal.
I knew that.
So clearly you knew.
It includes 6 months of work from the community. So there's got to be a lot of gems in this release. And I think there are. There's a lot of great stuff that they did
here. There's a lot of cool stuff. I think the improvements they made to the file manager, aka Nautilus, is really cool, especially the global universal search thing, where it basically makes it possible for you to do Control Shift F instead of Control F, and it lets you search everything from multiple locations. Everything that's been indexed by the file manager can now be searched all at the same time, which is really nice because most of the time when I'm searching for something, that's what I want by default anyway. So I think that's really cool that they have it. I still think that the file's name is terrible and I need to go back to Nautilus because it makes more sense to be just... Anyway, moving on. There is also some improvements to the sidebar of files.
There's also a new dynamic progress bar so that when you're doing multiple operations, moving files from different places and stuff, you can look at each one individually. So, you know, they really did a lot of work here, making sure that you had the right notifications and progress bars and all of this stuff. And so the whole time I'm reading the release notes, I'm like,
when's app indicators coming?
App indicator improvements so that I don't have to go into the bottom right corner and click on it to be able to see what's running. Of course, if you're in a modified version of GNOME, like what I'm utilizing as my daily driver, they automatically create the app indicator in the top bar where it should be anyways, or the bottom, depending where you have your panel. But if you're in stock GNOME, you have to still open that notifications panel to see if there's running applications.
And also the notifications panel has a running applications that is only available to that particular API. So if you're using an application that you actually want the app indicators for, which by the way, for those who don't know, app indicators is another term for system tray icons and the system tray menu stuff. For those who are not familiar with what that means. And that's the thing when you have like Steam open
Steam.
Or Discord or OBS or lots Jitsi, of applications, just base a ton of applications. So Spotify does this, so you can have it accessible whenever you want to. Well, in GNOME, those don't exist and you can't use them. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing if they have a solution for it, but they currently do not.
Well, they've got the app indicator in the, if you open the notification.
When you open the panel, the notification, that's not actually there though, because some of the apps are not even there because they don't support that particular API. Right.
It's not a good solution.
Defeating they the have entire a solution. Point.
It's not a good one.
Yeah. It only supports things that are, at my experience, it's the only thing that GNOME made because they're supporting the API. So,
yeah. Anyway, it's not great. It's
the point
great.
Is that app indicators are very important. GNOME 47 should have them. So just.
I was
so
really hoping my point is in 46, I was going to see it. They were doing so much great work here. But there's still a lot of great work. File switching between list and grid view is now seamless. So they've. And sometimes faster. GNOME feels sluggish.
Yeah.
Like there are certain tasks and things that you would do, like switching from the grid view and stuff, that would take like a second for it to kick in. And they've done a lot of work fixing that so that overall GNOME feels more smooth and quick when you're moving between things, which is really cool that they spent a lot of time with that. They also improved network discovery so you can discover your drives more easily. There's now support for OneDrive. So, you know, a lot of people use OneDrive because it comes with your Office subscription and you may be forced to use Office because you're in college or your particular
your company
work
makes you do it. Yeah.
Requires Office. So, you know, you have to get that Office subscription and it comes with a bunch of storage with OneDrive, which I would suggest encrypting anything you send over there. But either way, now you've got a way to seamlessly connect to that space in GNOME, which I think is a really, really cool option that they added in there.
They also added a remote login with RDP,
yeah,
which is really cool.
That's exciting.
And for those who don't know, RDP is the Microsoft Remote Desktop Protocol. And it's very useful. It's actually a pretty good protocol, even though Microsoft made it, it's still pretty good. And it's very useful in having that being there like by default is very nice because you don't need an application specifically for that anymore.
Yep.
Yeah. And the settings app has, you know, been reorganized as well in GNOME 46. And it's so much easier. It's easier to navigate. It's just had a really nice refresh. Yeah. Looks really
I also
good.
Like that they made an apps section in the settings.
Oh, so you can edit
specific apps configurations directly there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did a lot of really good work here. And I want to give them the biggest kudos, though, to all the community and team that work on GNOME. And that is all of the accessibility improvements. Yes. I feel like they're listening to the show. They've heard so many people in our community talk about accessibility and the needs to improve it.
Yeah.
And instead of just hearing it, they're doing something about it. And they're doing huge things with it that I think will be, you know, foundation for a lot of improvements that can come down the road as well to make things more featureful. But new sleep mode feature added allows users to temporarily disable Orca using certain shortcuts, and sleep mode is useful when using virtual machines that have their own screen readers as well as self-voicing apps. New commands allow Orca to report system stats, battery stats, CPU, and memory. Think about how important that is.
Yeah.
being able to know like if your battery is going to run out or not, and the icons you can't see. Or anything else going on, you've got ability to have Orca report that to you, which is so awesome. Table navigation improvements, so a lot more shortcuts and navigation keys there. Experimental support for Spiel, which is next generation speech synthesis API.
Yeah, we were just talking about that a few months ago, how it needed to be improved, the speech synthesis. Oh, yeah. So,
and also the fact that they're putting this much effort into Orca is very good because they've been working on Orca for a long time, and it's awesome that Orca exists. And for those who don't know, Orca is a screen reader for Linux, and it works on pretty much any DE. So it's made by the GNOME team, and the Orca screen reader is probably the best option we have on the Linux platform. So to them to just put more and more effort into this is so great to see, because it's such a vital thing to have accessibility for people who need to want to use Linux and need these kinds of things. So I love the fact that they're doing that.
Yep. They've got better high contrast mode, which, Jill, I know you talk about utilizing. And so they've improved that usability on it and symbols to show when it's on and off. And much of this work was also funded by two companies, which I want to give a huge shout out to, Sovereign Tech Fund and Egalia. I hope I'm saying that right. Both of them have helped fund a lot of this accessibility work. So huge thanks to those two companies, and huge thanks to GNOME for taking this task on of accessibility, which is why GNOME is so superior to KDE. And so,
another huge thing.
Did you just say?
Continue on, Jill. Don't let Michael interrupt.
What did you just say?
I'll let Michael get his words in.
He's just going to sit there and stare at me.
He's going to give you a look.
Keep talking while he gives me the
death stare, Ryan.
Okay, so the
death stare.
Huge news here.
Is the
coming up Orca compatibility with Wayland. It's actually being worked on under the hood. And this will be extremely important feature in future versions of GNOME and help users with challenges like myself to move away from X11, because a lot of the accessibility apps do not work on Wayland yet. I've had a lot of people with visual and hearing challenges contact me and said, Jill, did you know the reason why we can't use Wayland is because the support is only on X11 right now. And, you know, I knew this is a major thing. And recently I've had a lot of people contact me about this. So it was so nice to see that.
it's being worked on. So is it available now to use it, or it still needs some work?
It still needs some work. Yeah. Okay.
Well, so this is a big deal, Michael, because there's a lot of distros that are about to make some pretty big announcements, right?
There's a lot of stuff that's currently having like Wayland by default, and, you know, more that are going to be adding Wayland by default. And then there's Fedora that is going to be Wayland only in the next version of Fedora for not this current one that's coming out, but the one after. So Fedora 41 is currently planned to have Wayland only for GNOME. And Fedora 40 is currently planned to have Wayland only for Plasma. And I have used Plasma 6 on Fedora 40 in the beta, and it is very cool. It's very nice. I love that. However, there are some issues that I found that Wayland can't do certain specific things, not necessarily Orca, but like that's a huge problem until that's fixed. But just like small things of trying to like do configurations that I would use XRander, for example, to use. Yeah. And the Wayland solution doesn't really have all the same features and that sort of thing. So it's interesting because it's like, you know, that they need to do it at some point. When do we actually, you know, pull the plug and do it? And someone has to do it first. So it's an interesting situation because, I mean,
I think we need to dedicate a show to kind of talking about that, because, you know, you can make the case, like, I also have a problem with Wayland with Jitsi and screen sharing and things in there where it only screen shares part of the screen if you're in Wayland.
Yeah.
But the when it comes to something like accessibility, it's not a matter of, hey, my favorite app doesn't work as well as it should. You're talking about people no longer being able to use your distro at all and cutting out an entire group of people. And, well, that becomes a bigger problem. So I'm glad you brought that up, Jill, because that's kind of huge and something we probably need to dedicate an episode to. But all in all, GNOME team, fantastic job. I think all of these are very welcome changes. A lot of incredible work. Really appreciate everything you did there. Fix the app indicator stuff, please, for the love of God. And then guess what we get to do? Michael has nothing that KDE's better at that point. And
I mean, that's not even remotely true.
We win, you know.
That's not remotely true. KDE Plasma is better in a lot of ways. A lot of ways.
For me.
I will say that GNOME is better in some ways than Plasma. And Plasma is better in some ways than GNOME. It is fair. There's pros and cons for both, right?
Yeah.
But this one is basically like, It's like GNOME handing me a home run anytime Ryan says, hey, GNOME's better. And I was like, app indicators. And
shut up, Michael. Shut up. Shut up, Michael.
Because it doesn't need to be a problem, but some reason it is.
They made it a problem. They made their own problem there. I don't know why. All right.
We all recently traveled to Pasadena, California for scale, which meant a lot of packing and preparing. One of the things some people don't prepare for is their internet access while traveling. And by that, I mean Ryan. He messes up all the time.
That's a lie. I am the most secure, sir. I'm Captain Secure.
So traveling means that you may be reliant on hotel Wi-Fi at some point, probably going to happen depending on what you need it for. And that leaves you susceptible to not only slow data speeds, but also being exposed to man-in-the-middle attacks, among many other exploits, especially depending on what conference you're going to. But you know that these hotel Wi-Fis are not the most secure. So our tip of this week for this is to never trust a public Wi-Fi, whether you're at a hotel or an airport or a McDonald's or a whatever.
Starbucks or anything.
Anything. If they say, here's free public Wi-Fi, you go, no, thank you. Or you implement this. So, because there are better options like using your cell phone as a hotspot, which I do pretty much always.
Yeah.
If I don't have to use the public Wi-Fi, I will not. So that's my usual system. But if you don't have unlimited data for your mobile device, you could still secure yourself on these public Wi-Fis by using a VPN. So you could use Molvad VPN. You could use Mozilla VPN.
Nord VPN. There's a lot.
Nord. You could use all these different types of VPNs, or you can even set up your own DigitalOcean VPN if you want to, like build it yourself with OpenVPN or whatever you want to do. This will make it much easier for you to avoid logging, getting your data logged by anybody or getting a man-in-the-middle attack, that sort of stuff. So I highly suggest that one. And an additional one is to avoid, you know, logging into your bank accounts or your credit card companies or your other accounts that may be devastating for you to get hacked on at all. So just don't even use those. I mean, you could use it on your phone with your mobile data, I suppose. That's a situation where you probably don't have to worry about having unlimited data.
Well, keep your VPN on still. I mean, because why not, right? Once you have a VPN.
I mean, of course. Yeah. Always, if you have a VPN, you might as well use it all the time, you know?
So, and I want to tell a little story here. So, you know, Bo, we've had on the show, is a pen tester. And we went to a coffee shop. And people who've listened to the show for a long time have heard this. But we went to a coffee shop because we had a local LUG, Linux User Group. And we met up with Bo there. And he brought this Pineapple router that he had, which these Pineapple tools are tools that are used for pen testers to test exploits and things like that. And we were talking about how easy is it to actually exploit all these people who are on Wi-Fi in a coffee shop. So we talked to the manager. Wasn't a lot of people there, thankfully, but there was a few. And so we talked to them and told them what we were going to do, that we're going to run an exploit and see if they could find out. So Bo does his thing over in the side.
He also warned anybody who doesn't want to be in this test, disconnect from the Wi-Fi,
exactly,
and then see what happens. And that was, I appreciate that one a lot because I personally disconnected from the Wi-Fi.
Didn't want to be part of the test. And so all of a sudden I'm watching my machine and I see the coffee shop was named, let's say I don't remember what it was, but let's say it was called Coffee Shop Wi-Fi. Coffee Shop Wi-Fi was connected to. All of a sudden I see it lose connection and then all of a sudden reconnect back to Coffee Shop Wi-Fi. It just said, drop connection.
Yep,
you're reconnected
exact same thing.
To Coffee Shop Wi-Fi. And that's all I knew had happened. And then Bo was like, come over here. And then I'm watching all the traffic from my machine go across his machine as he's watching everything I can do now because he exploited the coffee shop name, the SID of Coffee Shop Wi-Fi with the Pineapple device. And we were all really connected at that point to his Pineapple router and
which
all
was,
the
which
traffic.
Which is really interesting because the way he did it was basically he knocked everybody off of the network. So everybody's just all like, oh, connection drop, which happens all the time, right?
Right.
And then this thing connects to the actual Wi-Fi of the coffee shop. So your data is still going through the coffee shop Wi-Fi, but it also is like basically there's a man in the middle like pretending right. to be the Wi-Fi. So it has to go through his stuff first and then into the coffee. And that was really interesting. I'm glad I didn't participate in the test, but that was really interesting because it was very simple to do. He showed the process to do it, and it was so simple. that it just made me never use public Wi-Fi ever. Even when I have a VPN, I still don't want to do it. I will do it with like hesitation. And
if it's the last resort,
I will do it, but I also don't want to. So it makes me cringe every time.
Same way. It taught me a great lesson, but I will tell you, he also had me turn on the VPN, and then we were watching my traffic go across his machine, and it was all encrypted. So he couldn't see anything. He could see that something was happening, but he didn't know where it was going, what I was doing on the site. Oh, that's
good. Okay. So I didn't see that part. So I wish I had VPNs known that for years ago. That would
do help.
there made you feel more comfortable.
From years ago.
And finally in here, harden your machine by making sure you close all your ports, don't accept incoming connections, and properly disconnect your machine from Wi-Fi when it's not in use. So when you're done using Wi-Fi, if you do have to connect to one of these public Wi-Fis, make sure you actually disconnect and turn off your Wi-Fi.
That's a very important thing. It sounds super simple and it sounds obvious, but also you're probably going to forget. And I have done that on a couple of occasions. So it's a very good tip. That's good.
There you go. And we were also given some warnings because I want to go to DEF CON. It's on my list. If you've been to DEF CON, I'm jealous. I want to go to DEF CON really bad. But we were given some warnings to not connect to any Wi-Fi while you're at DEF CON when you go there. So.
I mean, based on the experience I have talked to and watched podcasts, videos, I am not at all surprised by this suggestion.
Right.
And I will in no way connect to the Wi-Fi. And it also made me, it was funny. Is the same kind of, this is not a hacker, the Scale is not a hacker convention, right?
Right.
And I still, we were
best
connecting.
Hackers are at Scale.
Well, okay, now you're scaring me, Jill. Yeah. So when we were going to log into the Raspberry Pi so we could set up everything for the display on the booth.
Yeah.
It said, Scale public Wi-Fi. I'm like, I don't know, we should do this. And there was nothing on that device.
Thankfully, like, there's nothing on the Pi. They really couldn't have done nothing with it. But it was interesting connecting to that. But they did a great job on the security of the team.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that they had the slow connection and the fast connection. I am super curious who clicked slow and how many people were on the slow connection.
But I bet the one that they named slow was actually the fastest one because nobody got on it. You know?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, that sometimes happens.
Yep. All right. So a huge thank you to each and every one of you for supporting us by watching, listening, sending in your comments, coming and talking to us at the booth, remembering all the ridiculous memes that we come up with on this show. Thank you
all so
much.
Helping us make more with the logo of Ryan's actually being me.
It's
so
not. But we love your faces. And we want you to come join us in our Discord. And this, for the first time, our patrons are actually joining us from Discord this time. So we're making it easier because we have a patron-only room in Discord. And so now when we're doing the live recording of the show, while you're already in Discord, you can just jump into the members-only group there. You get the nice screen share and you get to listen to the show being made live. And if you want to watch the show live, you need to become a patron of Destination Linux and help support the work that we do here.
You can go to tuxdigital.com/membership to become a patron. And watching the show live is not the only perk you get. You get a ton of perks, and we're even going to be introducing some new ones pretty soon. But one of the things you get to do is join us in the patron-only post show that happens every week after the show. After the live show is complete, we hang around and talk with our patrons, so you can become a patron and become part of that as well by going to tuxdigital.com/membership to sign up. And so many more things, and I will let you know on the next episode what's coming soon. But also, if you would like to support the show and the network, you can go to tuxdigital.com/store and click on some awesome swag. You can get Tux the t-shirts, you get hoodies, you get mugs, you get stickers, you get coasters, you can get so many cool things.
Yeti cups.
You can't do that necessarily yet.
But
maybe
you could get a sticker to put on your Yeti cup.
You could get a sticker to put on your Yeti cups. That's exactly what you could do. So go to tuxdigital.com/store to get all of this and more.
And make sure to check out all the amazing shows here on Tux Digital. That's right. We have an entire awesome network of shows to fill your entire week with geeky goodness. Make sure to check out the DOS Geek channel. Ryan reviews awesome tech discusses way to keep your privacy intact online, and geeks out on all things open source and Linux. Check it out. It's okay. And he also has a cool sticker.
He has a sticker of me on his channel. It's weird. Very weird. I don't know why you do that.
Well, you know, my next video that I have coming out is going to be an interesting one. If you are interested in the watch wars of what is the best digital watch for fitness and for health tracking and all of that, I got another big competitor out there.
Now you put a video out after I already got a watch. What is wrong with you?
Why? I have another big competitor out there to go up against my favorite watch if you're a fan of the channel. And so you'll be able to see, does it win? Does it take the cake? Does it take the cake, Michael? We'll find out.
Does it take the cake and eat it too?
Yeah. You got to watch it to watch the watches. Who watches the watch?
Who watches
you
the
have
watcher?
To find out who you, you have to watch this to find out who watches the watchers on his watch based video about Watchmen.
And Michael will be making the thumbnail for this. So definitely check out the artwork for this.
I am terrified by this.
It'd be great.
And while you're watching the watch, watch the watchers, head to textdigital.com and subscribe to all our great shows. And don't forget to leave a rating on your favorite app so others can discover the power of open source and keep those penguins marching and the full Monty of Linux and open source awesome sauce.
Hey, Ryan, by the way, on the watch, do you go to TikTok on it?
Oh, man, that's good. No, because I don't watch TikTok. Okay. I don't have a TikTok account. I'm not a loser.
Well, for anyone who is mad at Ryan, you can go to destinationlinux.net/comments to let him know why TikTok is actually useful or whatever. I don't know. But, you know.
Loser.
Everybody, have a great week. And remember that the journey itself is just as important as the destination.
Unless you're a TikToker and you never get to the destination.
That's true. You're probably doom scrolling.
Yay.
Yay.
See you next week, everybody.
See you.
Bye, everyone. Love you all.
Most of you.
Most of you.